to continue in our series, Overcoming Tough Times. We've been talking over the last few weeks about how that we're all of us here are in three categories. We're either in a tough season, we're just coming out of a tough season, or we're getting ready to go into a tough season. So today, maybe you say, this series, Pastor, hasn't really related to me. I'm not really going through a tough season. Let me just tell you right now, go ahead and bank these notes, okay? Go ahead and save these notes, because sooner or later, you're going to need to go back on these. Other of you, you said, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize I'm coming out of my tough season. And some of you are just entering it. You said, Pastor, boy, I just really needed to hear this. Many of us here are going through things in your life, and we've been talking about how to stand through your toughest season, how to stand strong through your toughest season. And last week, we talked about, is there a silver lining? And how Job said, there is a silver lining. He says, surely there's a vein of silver for those who do not give up. And we talked about last week how God has set an end to darkness, which means this, before I ever walk and take a step into my dark season, God has already provided the way out. God has already provided an end to that season. And so it's up for us to walk through it and trust in knowing that God has allowed me to go through it, but he has already ordained my victory on the other side. God has already ordained for me to come through this stronger. God's already ordained for me to come through this refocused, to strip away the things, as we talked about last week, that with our children, many times we have to strip away many of the blessings in their life to get them refocused on the priorities that we know are true. They're going to make them grow and become productive and mature adults. And so as parents, we have to sometimes strip them and take them through tough seasons. And same thing in our lives, that many times God allows us to go through our tough season to get us refocused on what's the really is the main thing in our life and what they should be. That we realize that our happiness is not in possessions, that we're going to have money sometimes and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're going to have plenty and sometimes we're going to be broke. It doesn't make a difference. Our happiness is not gauged upon our bank account. Our happiness is not gauged upon our possessions. Our happiness is not gauged upon our relationship. Our only relationship that brings happiness is when we focus upon, say, God, I truly want to be focusing upon a true, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I refocus my life on how am I giving my life, how am I spending my life, how am I showing love to others, how am I prioritizing, how am I giving my life away, that these things refocus us and make sure we're heading on the right path. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, saving your family before they need saving. Saving your family before they need saving. We're going to take a different, whole different vein today and go down a different avenue. That many of us here that we've walked through tough times with your family. And if you haven't walked through a tough time with your family, you probably haven't been walking long enough, okay? Because it's going to happen. You know what I'm talking about. You're going to go in and out of tough seasons with you and your family, especially those who are having children at home right now. You know what I'm talking about, that you're going to go through tough times with your children and the ups and downs and the mistakes they make and the mistakes you make as parents. It's going to be highs and lows points. And one of the things today that I want to accomplish is this. I want us to learn that we can save our family before they need saving. We can save our family before they need saving. You know, as you drive down the highway, you see, if you're going to a town that you've never been in before, a town that you don't live in, one of the first signs you see is the blue H sign that tells you, in case of emergency, this is where you go, okay? In case of emergency, this is the direction to the hospital. You may not be able to find the nearest mall. Of course, if you're with my wife, she can find it. But you can always find the nearest hospital. I mean, it's marked very clearly, isn't it? It's one of the most important things a city does when it has this layout, and as you're entering a city, is to have the clear signs that point you, here are the hospital. Here's the direction if you're needing a medical emergency. Well, how many know that life just isn't that way? We don't go through life with these big clear signs that say, hey, when your family's going through a crisis, when you're needing a family emergency, where do you go? You know, who do you talk to? And we search around and we look for answers. It's not always that clear. We have a non-medical emergency, but we have a spiritual emergency. We have a relationship emergency. We have a family emergency. Listen, our homes should become a family clinic. Our homes, if they are centered and godly centered, Bible-based centered, Christian homes should be homes that are hospitals, that are family clinics. There should be a family hospital in your home. I don't care if you're a single parent today. I don't care if you are a home that's merged together. You're a merged family coming together. I don't care if you're a home who just has foster children. I don't care where you are today. Our home should be a home. It is a family clinic. And where do you go to get this help? It should be coming to our homes. If your home is not a hospital, I tell you today, it needs to become a hospital. If your home is not a clinic, today it needs to become a clinic. Some of you today, you realize and say this, my home is not a hospital. My home's more of a nut house. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to my house at times, okay? Sometimes my home is more of the ha-ha house, you know? I don't act like you're the one I'm talking about today. And if you have family members in the nut house, it's okay. I don't mean to offend anybody because I got them right there too. We've all got people we know who have gone through that. And sometimes we think, man, you know, my home is not more like a clinic. It's more like the crazy house. And it can really get that way. You try having five kids and you see if you don't belong in a crazy house too. But our homes become places where questions need to be answered, where lessons need to be taught, where children have to be raised up in the right way. Some of us take this junk and we bury these things inside. We have hurts and we have pains that we're dealing with as we're growing up, and because our parents had never made our home a hospital, because our parents, as we were growing up, or the lack of parenting or the lack of a home, it was a hospital. We became a people who just carried it inside, and we internalized everything. And so we carry that over into our home and our children, and we don't talk things out, and we don't realize what it means to minister to each other, and we don't realize what it means for our homes to become this clinic. And so our homes go from one generation to the next of homes that are not being productive. Let me tell you this, parents. If your home is not a hospital, if your home is not a place where your spouse or your children can get the help they need, they will find their help in other places. Let me say again, if you do not have answers for your children, they will ask their friends the answers. If you do not have the proper love for your children, they will find the love in other places. If you do not have the proper attention to give your family, your spouse, your home, your spouse, your children, they will find attention in other places. And so it's important that we realize this, and that I've got to shape my home to become a hospital, a clinic, a place where people can be open and get the help they need, where my children know they can talk to me about anything, and I can be there to love them and to give them the attention they are needing at that time. Let me talk to you about some things today. How do you turn your home into a hospital? How do you turn your home into a hospital? Number one, you must prioritize patients based on the severity of their condition. You must prioritize patients before their condition becomes severe. Now, this is what happens. When we see hospitals, when you go into the emergency room, how are you treated? According to the severity, isn't it? When you go into a hospital, it's, you know, the person who comes in who's got the worst symptoms, the person who has the most urgent need, many times will jump over you in line. And if you've ever been there for something that maybe wasn't urgent, but you just needed some care, maybe you had a virus going on in your body, and so you went to the emergency room or urgent care, and you're there all day because people keep coming in with these emergencies, with broken limbs, and they've been stabbed, they've been shot, or they had a car wreck, and things happen. These people get placed ahead of you. You can be there all day long because our medical society is set up this way, where the people who need the care the first obviously get it first. But in our homes to become a hospital, a clinic, it needs to be just the other way around. We got to prioritize, not just because they're hurting, but we got to begin to prioritize to everyone before they become a priority. Okay? In a hospital, they get to you when you're a priority. But in our homes, we got to make everyone a priority. Every one of our children are a priority. Your spouse is a priority. You got to make sure that I am making them a priority in my life. I've got to minister to them. I've got to make sure they are being healed. I've got to make sure they are being nurtured. I've got to make sure they're getting the attention they are needing. We got to prioritize. You know, I got some homework for you today, okay? So if you got a pen, I want you to write some of these down. You want to say, what's the structure, Pastor? What is the structure for me to base my home on? I'm going to give you three chapters in Ephesians that you can go back, and I want you to read these through this week. It gives you, it lays out the outline, how we treat each other, how we are to build our homes, how we're to live with our spouses, how we're to live with each other, how we're to raise our children. These things go hand in hand with the priorities. First of all, we see Ephesians 4. We're to walk in unity. It talks about walking in unity, how we are to learn to walk in unity with each other. This is an important thing. If your home is not unified, then your home is in trouble. Parents, if you're not unified with your spouse, your home's in trouble. If you're not unified with your children, we're asking for problems to come along. It's important that we walk in unity, and Scripture teaches us in Ephesians 4 how to walk in this unity. Ephesians 5 talks about how to walk in love, how we're to walk in love and grace toward each other. Well, how many know that's a big one, isn't it? How many know it's easy to walk in love with everybody else until you get home? I can be just as kind to you, and I can, Pastor, he's such a loving guy. He can listen to me all day. He can be so kind that I can walk home sometimes and be like, you kids be quiet. I don't want, honey, I'm trying to watch the game, please. Oh, come on, I act like I'm the only one that acts this way, okay? It's very easy for us to not prioritize right. It's, we can treat everybody else. Some of you who are bosses, you know what I'm talking about. You can treat all your employees with respect. You can treat all those who work for you who are trying to help you earn a living. Boy, you give them all the attention you want. But when it comes to your own family, many times we're like, just go to your room and shut the door, please. I've had enough today. It's very easy not to use the same priority in our life. It's important that we walk in love, that we show the same kind of grace and love to each other. Ephesians 5 teaches us how to do it. Ephesians 6 talks about walking in honor, how that children, we're to honor our father and our mother, and how parents, we are to raise up our children without having them spite us, and not to make them grow up to spite us, but to bring them up with admiration and love. So these things, chapter 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians are a great chapter. You got some homework this week. Read through those. It'll outline to you some great basis of building your home up. But in the Scripture, we see where Jesus was called the great physician. Matter of fact, two times in Scripture, we see where Jesus referred to himself as a doctor, as a physician. Luke 4:23, Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself." He was talking about how they talked to him. They people call him a physician. And in Luke 5:31-32, Jesus answered them and said, "Those who are well had no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I had not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." We see twice in Scripture where Jesus refers to himself as a great physician, as a physician. And many times we see where people even refer to that title to Jesus as the great physician. And we know today that Jesus was the great physician. He came to heal our bodies spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. Jesus came to bring healing to us. Only Jesus brings the proper grace that we need. Only Jesus brings the proper healing that we need in our lives. He is the great physician. So if Jesus is the great physician, and he says that you and I are to be made in his image, that you and I are to be formed in his image, I wonder if you and I are not called to be doctors as well. Just a thought. If Jesus was called the great doctor, then how many know that us, we're called to be a great doctor? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're called to be a doctor." Now, when I was a kid, I always had a deep voice, and so when I was a young teenager, when I called somebody up, if someone asked who was calling, I would say, "Tell them this is Dr. Beebe." "Oh, it's Dr. Beebe," and they'd always prioritize, and they'd get them real fast, you know, and whoever I was calling would be laughing, "Dr. Beebe, what are you doing calling here and asking for Dr. Beebe?" I just wanted to say that, you know, but all of us here, whether you're really a doctor through education or not, you are called to be a physician. You're called to be a doctor. All of us here are called to be doctors. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Are you a doctor?" My wife calls me Dr. Love, but that's another story altogether. Anyone say amen? Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Now we're talking about our homes becoming doctors. Where are we today? Our homes becoming that we are doctors. Who are our patients? Our children. Our children are patients. Jesus is what? The great physician. We are doctors, and our children are patients. Can you see the correlation here? That our homes become that Jesus is the head physician. We are residents. We are physicians underneath him, and we are learning through the great physician, through the head physician, how to minister to our patients. And that is our children. Because our destiny is to train our children, to bring them up. Matter of fact, Scripture teaches us in three chapters. It tells us commands on how we are to raise our children. Deuteronomy 5, 6, 5, and 9. Love the Lord, with all, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Look what it says then. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the side of the road. Talk about them when you lie down, and talk about them when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on the foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What's it saying? It means when you're coming, when you're going, when you're awake, you're to be talking and teaching our children about the foundations that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our emotions. This is the commands that we're given. Look what Proverbs 22:6 says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're called to train them up. Why are we called to train them up? Genesis 2 says it like this. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. My job as a doctor is to minister to my patients, my children, to prepare them to leave. How many parents say, I'm just praying for the day? Some of you got some patients that have been in care for a long time. And today we know this, that our job as parents is to prepare them to leave. My job for parents is not to prepare them to stay on my shoulder for the rest of their life. Not that God doesn't want you to have a close relationship with your children. But ultimately, the job of a great parent, of a great physician, is to teach them how to become a physician themselves. So they can leave the home, cleave to their spouse, and become a doctor themselves. And so we have got a bunch of many doctors running around our homes. How are you training them? How are you training them to grow up and to minister to their children? Are they going to repeat the same things that you learned? Yeah, maybe some of you here, you learned a lot of great things from your parents, but all of us today can say that we've learned some great things to do. We've also learned some bad ways to do it. That's just it, you know, and as we each generation comes along, there's more and more help, there's more and more research, more and more books. You know, as I get older, I have a lot more tolerance for the way my parents raised me. I have a lot more understanding because I realize, you know, my dad was raised by depression, a depression family, man. They didn't have anything. Had 13 kids raised in a two-bedroom house, man. I mean, their house could fit in my living room. They're just really, really small. And they didn't have anything. He was raised, tossed around from, he was one of the youngest ones, so his older siblings were more like a parent to him than his parents were. And so he was just kind of skipped around. Didn't have a lot. It was just a miracle. He came out the way he did. My mother was raised, and she was sent from home to home, being grown up. Didn't know who her true father was, and lived with her aunt and uncle half the time, and uncle home back out to California. Passed around. It's just the wonders they made it through. And so the more as I get older, I realized, you know, they didn't have any great books to teach them back then. Dr. Dobson wasn't available to really help them. There was things out there that really wasn't there the way. They couldn't just go on the internet and talk about, how do I talk to my kids about this? How do I do this? I mean, they were just trying to do the best they could. And considering everything they went through, they did a great job. And I tell you, the best thing they ever did was this. They had me in the house of the Lord. They had me there and taught me that come hell or high water, we're going to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to prioritize and put Jesus first in our home. We're going to do things right. And there's some things that happen in our life that, you know, that people say, man, maybe that thing wasn't healthy. But you're right, because they had me there. And when I was old, I didn't part from it. And I can have a deeper understanding. But, you know, it's important that we don't pass things along, that we do a better job, that we can say, you know what, I can grow up. I can be a little bit better doctor. I can grow up, and I can train my children up. I know what the value is of spending a little more time with my children. I know that he had values raised from parents who were depression. So, man, there was never enough, and you can never make enough money. You can never work enough overtime. You can never get enough because you just never knew when you're going to need it. You just never knew if you're going to make it from year to year. And so I realized it, but now we realize that there's some benefit to taking a little extra time with your children. We learn from those things, and we learn those things. We pass those things on. So we got to realize that we've got to train our children. We're calling them, training them up to leave. The great physician is Jesus. Parents, we are the doctors. And we're called to help our kids' condition. Do you realize that our kids have a condition? How many know all of our kids have a condition? You know what their condition is? Same condition you and I have. It's the sin condition. All of us are born in sin. That's what the Word of God says. That all of us come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and come short of His glory. All of us have a sin condition. So what are we doing to help our children with the most important condition in their life? Isn't it amazing that we'll help them find a good job? We'll help them get a good car. We'll help them get a good education. We'll help them achieve their goals. We'll help them achieve to become the best wrestler they can be, the best sports athlete they can be, the best student scholar they can be, the best actress or dancer they can be. But yet, how many of us neglect that really the most important condition that we can work with our family is the sin condition? That we've got to let them know above and beyond anything else that there is a condition of the heart that's still the most important thing. Now, am I against any of those things I just mentioned? No, because my kids are involved in just about all those things. But still, the most important priority is this, is above everything else, that my kids know, first of all, there's a condition of the heart that's the most important thing. That's their relationship with Jesus Christ. The rest of the things, they can come and they can go. They're going to be great sometimes, and sometimes they're not. But you know what? The most important thing is this. Where is their heart? How is their heart conditioned when it comes to the sin condition? Our church is to be a place where we're a hospital helping train doctors to train their patients, to train families. How many know doctors call the shots, don't they? When doctors are in charge, they call the shots of their patients. When a patient comes to submit themselves to their care, the doctors call the shots, and you put a lot of trust into them. Knowing this, that parents, that you got to call the shots in your kid's life. I just don't want my kid to be upset with me. I'm afraid if I try to, you know, if I don't say yes enough and I say no too much, they're going to hate me. You know what? Then you're doing your job. If your kids think you are too tough, then you're doing your job. That's all right if I say that, okay? You know what I'm saying. You love me. If your kids think you're too easy, you're not doing your job. If your kid thinks you're your best friend as you, you're not doing your job. You're not called to be their best friend. You're not called to be their pal. You're called to be their parent who is to train them to leave the home. And when they leave that home, we're praying that they have enough tools that they can deal with their sin condition above everything else. And they can deal with discipline in their life. Not just the academic side, not just the work side, but the most important thing is how are we dealing with the spiritual side of our children? Saving our kids before they need saved. Learning to go after them. And learning to say, I've got to do what it takes to save my family before they need saved. Parents, we are calling the shots. No, I'm not. Well, you need to learn to call the shots. So I talked about last week, whatever it takes to get my kids' attention, if it needs to get done, I will do it. I remember one time we were having a struggle in our house with some issues. And my kids walked upstairs, and on my dresser was a whole pile of every electronic they owned. I mean, I had cell phones, iPods, cameras, PlayStation. We had it all piled up on my dresser. And they just come up and they just piled it up there. Just take it all, Dad. Just take it all. I said, thank you, I will. And Dad's going to keep it all. And so some things change. It's important that my kids know that these things aren't the most important things in life. You get in your way. Me making you happy is not the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life is that you can learn to submit to the parents. That you can learn to submit to the authority God's placed in your life. And the most important thing above all that is, where is your heart? What's the sin condition in your life? Am I teaching them what it takes? I'm not in control. Get in control. Well, they're going to hate me. No, they're going to love you because you're setting boundaries in their life. Believe it or not, children feel the most safe when they have boundaries placed in their life. The parents who had no boundaries, those children do not feel the love they should in the homes. It's a proven fact. We know this to be true. But where there's boundaries placed, where there's rules in place and enforced, children know that when they push past this boundary, there is consequences. This is the kind of home that raises up security in a children's life. How many parents feel like you say no more than yes? Anybody here? Like you say no more than yes? Good, you're doing your job. I'm not called to say yes to everything. I say no a lot more than I say yes. Do I say yes to a lot of things? Yes, I do. Do my kids, are they spoiled just like your kids? My kids are spoiled just like your kids. But you know what? They know that dad says no to a lot of things. And dad's not afraid to take away things when it needs to be taken away. If I need to get in my kids' business, I will go through their cell phone and I will read every one of the texts they have on their phone. If I need to go digging through their drawers to find notes, their backpacks, I will do it. They're going to have privacy. It is my home. They can have privacy when they get their own home and they make the payment, okay? Because I love them too much not to be involved in their life. God has placed me as a doctor, the great physician. I got to know what's going on in my patient's life. Now, do I give them respect? Yes, I do. Do I invade their privacy all the time? No, I don't. But if it is necessary, I will do it. Won't I, honey? Yes, I will. I will do it. I will do it if it's necessary. Now, there's trust that comes, that's earned and given. And I'm teaching them to grow. But it's important, as the great physician has taught us, that we are to bring nourishment to our home, accountability. You know, how many love Facebook? Anybody here addicted to Facebook? You can't lie because many of you are my friends, and I see how much you're posting. Some of you post all day long. I'm thinking, my Lord, every time they go to the bathroom, they're making a post right here. I can tell. They're having these deep thoughts. They're coming to them. You know, one of the great things about Facebook is you got people who are trying to be friends with you you haven't seen since high school. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you love these people? You're like, who is this person? Oh, yeah, I went to high school with them. And you accept them. What's the first thing you do? You want to see what they look like right now, don't you? You accept them and go right to their photo page. Come on, ladies. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to see. Well, she thought she was all that in high school, but I'm going to go right to her page right now. And you're like, ha, 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 look at her now. And the guy who used to pick on you and all the girls like doesn't have his hair anymore, and he's gained a lot of weight. You're like, yeah. But the scary thing is this. When you look at it, you go, you know what? I'm the same age as these people. I'm the same age as these friends that I'm making fun of. I'm like, oh. I'm thinking, my God, am I looking this old? These people, they got old kids. They got kids that are grown. Then I realized, I got kids. They're 17. They're about to be grown. I'm getting older. Not old, older. What happens is I realize this, that life is passing by so fast, isn't it? I mean, just like that. And as we're growing old, as my kids were just in diapers, I have parents tell me, enjoy every second, enjoy every minute, because it's going to be by just like that. And I can realize that, man, they are so true. It's just flying by every year. It's like just like that. The way I've got a kid as a junior, and I got another kid in junior high, and man, I don't have any babies in diapers. Hallelujah. It seems like, man, time's going by fast. And it does go by fast, and if we're not careful, we'll blink our life away, we'll waste our life away in our home instead of becoming the hospital that God had called it to be. It became a home where people were just in and out. There was no relationship formed. There was no guidance given. Did we really teach them? Oh, we taught them how to work hard. That was good. We taught them it's important to make good grades. That was good. But did we really teach them? The most important things is that there is a sin condition in our life. And without Jesus, apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, there's nothing else we can do. It's going to pass by. We've got to get into our homes and make them a healing place. Putting Jesus first in our home is a top priority. We've got to teach them what it means to know Jesus personally, not only through our example, but through a relationship with them, talking about Jesus in our home, talking about Jesus' relationship with them. What do they think of God? What does God think of them? What do they want to do in their life? How do they center in their life about what God wants to do in their life? Parents, we've got to be motivated to be doctors. Parents, we've got to be motivated, not just educated, but motivated to go out and make our homes a hospital. Saving our children before they need saved. And the reason I'm doing this message today, because I want to give you the 411 before you have to dial 911. As a pastor, over the many years of being in ministry, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to have so many families coming to me and say, man, my home's a mess. It's screwed up. It's screwed up. My spouse is cheating on me. My kids don't love the Lord. It's a mess. And my heart breaks because somewhere along the way, I feel like we've missed it. We've missed it. Our homes have got to be a place where a husband and wife come together, those who are married, and we raise our children up. And those who are single, you got a double job. We applaud you, those single parents. Man, give our single parents a hand up. And they do a great job. It's a lot of being mom and dad. You got it twice as hard. You're trying to do it alone. And that's the great thing, maybe being plugged into a church, that you have people who can come along because we're all family, who want to love on your children as well. We want to help you along the way. But it's important that we create an atmosphere where our children know that the most important thing in their life is what? Not what their friends think about them. Not even what I think about them. The most important thing is, what does God think about you? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Or is your relationship right with Jesus Christ? These are the most important things. The most important thing. Well, Pastor, my teen doesn't like coming to church. My teenager doesn't like coming to church. You know what? I got teens that get up every morning and say, I don't like going to school. But how many know they got to go to school? Why? Because if I don't send my kids to school, I'm going to get arrested. And they got to have their education to make it in life. We know this. It's very true. But somewhere along the line, when it comes to a Christian education, when it comes to Christian priorities, we let them make a decision. Oh, they don't like church, so I guess they don't need to come. What? Which is more important in life? Really? What's going to be the most important? What's God going to ask us when we get to heaven? How many diplomas did you bring with you today? No, he's going to say, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? This is what the most important thing is in my life, is my children, do they love the Lord? Do my children know that God loves them, that there is grace for them, even when they make mistakes, even when they blow it, that I love them and God loves them beyond their comprehension? Even when they rebel in their heart, it's okay because God loves you and he's going to love you through your rebellion. And I'm going to love you through your hardened heart. And we know this, that we have trained you and we prayed over you and we're teaching you this, that God loves you beyond anything else in your life. And we got to make sure we know this. You know, as a youth pastor, one of the things that used to bug me was I had two excuses. One was my kid was too old and he didn't like coming to church. Or my kid was too young. They're just not mature enough yet. And I'm thinking, what is this? First of all, we would never, you know, if our kids don't like it, we're still going to make them go if we know it's the best thing for them, right? And the second excuse, my kid's not mature enough yet. How many of you say, well, it's time to go into junior high this year, but you know what? You're not mature enough, so I'll call the principal and they're going to let you go back. Even though you made straight A's, because you're not mature enough, you're going to go back and you're going to repeat the fifth and sixth grade. We would never do that, would we? No, you got to grow up. It's okay. It's going to be tough, but you're going to grow up through this process. I know you're not mature enough yet. I know your voice is like this. And you can't even take a bath without me pushing you outside with a hose. But you got to grow up. Sometimes we got to get them in the youth group and say, you got to grow up. It's time for you to grow up spiritually. It's time for you to get involved. God's got a plan for your life. You can't stay at Kids Fest the rest of your life. You know, come on. I'm teaching right where you're at today, and you got to love me, don't you? Yeah. And I love you. That's why I'm teaching you this, that we've got to make sure that our children are in the house of God. We've got to make sure they're being trained, first and foremost. But then we've got to carry it over to our home, that our homes, our places, are prioritizing God first in our life. And how many know they don't just do what we say, they do what we do. And so when we make excuse to miss church every other week because something's going on, guess what? They're going to miss church every other week because something's going on. And when they get old enough to raise their children, guess what? They're going to miss church every other week. And then you're going to come to the pastor at some point and go, 911, help! And I'm like, where were you? I just did a series on this last year. If you'd have took this and applied it, it'd have saved yourself a lot of pain. Well, they got cheering, and they got basketball, and they got baseball, and they got football, and they got this. Those things all come up, and my kids are involved in those things, and sometimes that does happen. But listen, it should not be every other weekend. We got to put a place in our heart where prioritizing that we've got to be in the house of the Lord. Our children, we've got to save our children before they need saving. This is tough. And some of you, it's hitting you right between the eyes. And I'm doing it out of love because we've got to do it. We've got to do it. It's important because I want to save you and your family before you need saving. I want to save you and your children before you need saving. It's the most important thing. It's the most important thing. I'm getting ready to close this morning. But knowing this, that we got to get the help before we need it. I walked into my doctor's office a few weeks ago. I have a chiropractor that I see, and many of you know my wife and I were in an accident not too long ago, and so we had to go in and get some adjustments done, and I walked in, they laughed at me. Ha ha, Pastor Beebe, must be in pain. I haven't seen you in a long time. And I said, it's just kind of like people who go to church. Never want to talk to the pastor unless you're in pain. I said, okay, you got me. All right, we just even. We call this touche. It's a draw. But isn't that so true? Many times we don't want to get help until we're in major pain. And I'm saying today, let's do what it takes. Let's do what it takes to make sure we save our families before they need saving. The second thing today is we've got to build trust, knowing that we have built trust. Building trust. You've got to have trust in your doctor. You've got to have trust in what's going on. Trust is how we teach our kids to win. Teaching our kids that putting trust in us, we put a lot of trust in doctors, don't we? We trust some doctor who scribbles something on a tablet we can't read, and they give it to a pharmacist we don't know, and they give us a pill we don't even know what it is, and we take it. Why? Because we have trust in them, don't we? We put trust in them. If not, we find the doctor we can trust. But there's got to be that same way in our home. There's got to be trust in our home. We've got to build our marriages on trust. We've got to build our relationship with children on trust. Can my kids trust me? We're building trust among them where they can talk to me about anything, where we can have that kind of relationship where there's trust built in our home. We've got to have it there. Today I'm going to close it out with a challenge once again that I said at the very beginning. Are we building our homes? Are we saving our family before they need saved? It comes when we prioritize. Going through your tough season, you're going to have them. But let me tell you right now, you can save yourself a lot of headache. That when you go through your tough season, that you don't lose your family, because your family is built upon the solid rock and the foundation of Jesus Christ. Sad thing is, most people need to hear this message today are probably not here. You're here in the house of God. You know what I'm talking about. So I got a lot of amens from the choir, don't I? It's a priority, though. We got to have a priority today. A priority. It's got to be a priority that our relationship with our children, not just to teach them academics, not just to teach them accomplishments in sports and other curricular activities, not just education. It's got to be the most important thing is, where is your relationship with Jesus Christ? How is God going to fulfill his plan in your life? I tell you this much, as when I first started Destiny Church, I made it very clear, and I reiterated it today. So I have 5 beautiful children, proud of every one of them. They're honoring, just like your kids have been, they're honoring. I had someone come to me when we first started the church, said, Pastor, I got on to your kid today. Told him, you're the pastor's kid. And I was like, hey, don't you ever get on to my kid and say, you're the pastor's kid. They're just like your kids, man. They're kids. If you want to get on to them, fine. If they need to get on to them, but don't. Get on to them saying, you're the pastor's kid, okay? They're just like your kids. They're kids. Let's train them up the same way. And I don't expect any more out of them than you should expect out of your own children. They're going to have ups and they're going to have downs. They're going to have times they need a lot of grace in their life. Times they're going to need a lot of correction. Times they're going to need a lot of guidance. But I tell you this, if a season ever comes in my life where I cannot be effective in raising my children, and making my home a hospital, I'll walk away from ministry and put myself in the most important ministry, that's my family. I thank you that you allowed me to do that. Many of you know that. I prioritize a lot of high priority on my children and my family. No one's ever complained. You guys know the importance of that in my life. But I tell you, it's so important to me. That's the most important thing right now, is my home is a hospital. It's the most important thing we can do is our homes are hospitals, places where we are nurturing people, bringing them to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of life. What kind of doctor are you raising today? Are you raising a physician? Are you raising a doctor who's going to take good care of your grandkids one of these days? Are you raising a doctor who's going to be absent? Are you raising a doctor who's going to push for other things that really, when it all comes down to it, doesn't really matter? They bring short-term fulfillment. But you and I know, as we get older, what really the long-term fulfillment brings and what really the right things are, that we are to train up our children in the way they should go, teaching them to become physicians. Our patients become physicians. They can submit to the authority of the head physician, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let me just ask you this question. Those who are here today, the pastors, you're talking. I realize that, man, my home is not much of a hospital. Matter of fact, I feel like it's just the opposite today. As you're talking, I realized I need to do some prioritizing in my life. I need to do some prioritizing in my family. And today, before God, I just want to ask God's help to help me reprioritize in my life. Bet you here today, I'm not going to embarrass you, but can you just raise your hand where you're asked, that's me, Pastor. God's really speaking to me. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of hands going up across the auditorium. Anybody else say, that's me. It's my home becoming the proper hospital. Thank you for being, thanks for being honest, guys. That's the start right there. First of all, we've got to admit that we're wrong and we need some help. I've been in your shoes. I've been in your shoes many times. As many times I've had to reprioritize and come back and refocus. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing to come back today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to refocus my home, refocus my life. My home becomes a hospital. Well, the first and most important thing is my children know our relationship with God is above and beyond anything else. I'm going to ask you to do this today. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Many of you today raised your hands and said, that was you. And so as I close today, I want to say a special prayer over you today. I want to say a special prayer over those who raised their hands. That God would give you wisdom beyond your years. God would help you refocus. Some of you here today, you say, Pastor, my kids are out of the home. I've blown it. And you realize, man, I didn't do a great job at all. How many know that the great thing about serving our God is that He can restore back to you the years that you've lost? That's the grace of our Savior. He can restore back to you the years that you made mistakes. And He can renew that relationship with your children. And He can help you be a greater support to their children one day. As you go into the holiday season, those of you who've had strained relationships with your children, I'm believing that this holiday season, God's going to repair that bridge. God's going to bring back unity to your home, and He's going to bring an end to that tough season. He's going to begin to show you the light, and you're going to have a new relationship. I'm prophesying to somebody right now. You're going to have a new relationship formed. You're going to have a new beginning happen, a new chapter opened up. God's going to allow you to ask forgiveness. Some of you parents, you're wondering when your children's going to come back. Maybe when you get on your knees and show a little humility first and say, I was wrong also. I'm asking you to forgive me. Not expecting them to be the one to come back and knock on your door. You go to them. Forgive me, son. Forgive me, daughter. Forgive me. Lay it out there and allow God to bring love and unity back into your home. Even if you were not the one who caused the problem. Even if it wasn't your fault. Show the mercy. Be the physician you need to be in your home. I don't care how old your children are. It's never too late. It's never too late to create that atmosphere in your home. I'm going to pray over you today. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to receive what God has for me today. I'm ready to reprioritize my home. I want you to raise your hands where you're at today. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, with our hands raised before you, God, as a sign of surrender to the great physician, our head physician, God, as doctors, that you've called us ambassadors of who you are. And as ambassadors of you, as physicians that you've given, Lord, great responsibility to bringing up our homes as hospitals. Where we bring people who are spiritually a wreck, Lord, and bring them to know that the most important thing, God, is you have grace for their life. No matter how bad the mistake has been, no matter what they've done, God, you can love them through that. And it comes through the love of the grace of the parent first. I pray for teenagers here today that have been butting heads with their parents. God, today, may they begin to realize that they're not the parents, not the problem. Maybe today that their heart is the problem. Soften their heart, God, knowing that they need to submit to the to the woes you put over their life, Lord. They need to submit to the parents that you've placed in their heart, that you've placed over them. And God, as they get under the authority of their parents, God, they're going to walk into the blessing that you've ordained for their life, even at a young age. So I pray for our teenagers today, God, that there is an honor to the parents that comes to them. Even when they're upset, even when they want to talk back, God, I pray that today's message would ring in their heart. Lord, I pray for parents here today, God, they are able to submit to your authority. Submit to your authority today, God, making their home a hospital. And we can walk through a tough season in our life, Lord, knowing that, God, we can save our family before it needs saving. And it can start with right priorities today. Father, we thank you today, God. I pray that you give them wisdom beyond their years. God, you're speaking to everyone here differently today, God. But I know your Holy Spirit is in us today. Your Holy Spirit is ministering to families today, God. You're restoring relationships, God. I pray that parents go home and spouses go home and reprioritize. And they talk over things in their home that need to be taking place to bring back, Lord, the right atmosphere. Where your presence is still the number one thing, God. Where priority in you is still the number one thing. God, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in Destiny Church and in the lives of the people here this morning. God, we speak that change would come and it would start in us individually. And Father, we thank you together and we say amen. God bless you today. Thank you for staying along with me today. I know we went a long longer than usual. Thank you for staying with me today. Hey, hug a neck today before you leave. Tell someone who's glad to be with you in church today.